is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. Happy Sunday to you. I hope things are going well. Hope you're all right. I feel like most people are hibernating this time of year. The streets are very quiet. Sunday as well, always a day for just staying in, wandering around in your underpants and watching a movie. And if that's what you've been doing all day, well, good on ya. You deserve it. Unless you're enormously morbidly obese, in which case you probably shouldn't have done that. But, you know, I'm not judging. I actually did go for a run today. I'm very pleased with myself. Perhaps that's why, because I've had one run in the last 3 weeks, I feel like I can criticise everybody else. That's fair. But yeah, I was out running in the snow along the lakeshore today. Very proud of myself. Got up at midday, had a massive fry up, so I undid all the good that was done. But there was a bit of good done. So what's going on here? I suppose I should introduce myself. My name's Vinny. Vinny White, if you want to get personal. Get really personal if you like. I'll tell you the middle names. Got two. Richard and Barnaby. Made one of them up. It was getting a bit ridiculous telling you all about me. 416-872-1010 is the phone number of this radio show. And you can text the show on 71010 whenever you like. Right now, if you like. You can also phone StarTalk 8255, does the same thing. Lots of ways of getting a hold of me. You can tweet, and I'll read them out probably, Vinny White. And you can Facebook. That's that as well. And I think that'll do for a kickoff. It's on till 10. It's quite good. I'm filming it again, which I'll talk about later. It's for the upcoming documentary, which will win many awards. Vinny goes to Nicaragua and gets attacked. Working title, needs a bit of work, but the plan is to go to Nicaragua. I'll bang on about that very briefly later, though. Let's start with the Olympics, which seems to be the talk of the town, and most towns for that matter. I'll do the medal count, although it does seem somewhat redundant. It's a bit early to be doing this, but since Canada are doing well and a bit of self-flagellation is deserved, I think we'll have a look at it because it's not too shabby for us. I'm saying us. Obviously, I become Canadian for the Winter Olympics because I can't continue to be British because there's no way that Great Britain are going to do as well as you guys. So what you do, you pick the winners. It's just logics. All right? I'll probably, next time Britain play anything, go back to that, particularly if it's cricket. So number one is Norway. Congratulations, Norway. Always number one in everything. Safety, cleanliness, lack of corruption. Bloody Norwegians. So polished is the mature response. Netherlands, number two, not known for being quite so well-rounded. But nonetheless, they're doing pretty well with two medals. Oh, no, sorry, four medals. Norway on seven, Netherlands on four. And the Dutch, they're going crazy. Maybe they're liking the Winter Games. That's my Dutch, by the way. If you ever want to do a Dutch accent, just accidentally pluralise everything. I was out walking today. It was nice. Little tip for you there. United States are doing quite well at position three with four medals. And good old Canada is tying with four medals. And if you're going to be a real stickler, ours are a bit better than theirs in colour. You know? Just saying. Just saying to the States. Russia are doing quite well at five. And doing extremely well in the homophobia scale, where I think they're sitting at number one. Or just behind Uganda. And then, of course, you've got Great Britain, who, if you are interested, we have got a total of one medal, which puts us in position 16, and it's a bronze. So come on, lads, pull your socks up. What's going on here? If you're listening in Britain, by the way, because we have the capabilities, can I just say I'm sorry to hear about the weather. If you don't know about it, by the way, I appreciate that we have had some diverse and inclement weather here in Toronto, but it's been the wettest January for most towns in the United Kingdom for 250 years. And just to give you an idea, January is not really normally a very dry month anyway. So if it's the wettest January in 250 years in the UK, that essentially means that everyone is living in a swimming pool. It's absolutely insane. It just doesn't stop. It's rained every day for a billion years or something. So sorry to hear that, the UK, and lots of floods going on there as well. Get the sandbags out, make a cup of tea, stiff upper lip and all that stuff that you're so good at. What's going on in Russia then? So let's tackle this little beast. we've got a situation here, and I need to be serious briefly. It doesn't happen often, but I do get rather vexed at stupidity of the human race when it's not encouraging people to love and live in harmony, no matter what our tastes and what we were, which way we were born. And for some reason, Russia is going quite severely backward in the universe, in my opinion. Gay teenage boys are being lured through social media by Russian hate groups who proclaim themselves as vigilantes who lure gay teenage boys through the social media to meet in person. Nothing wrong with that, you might think, until you find out that they then beat and humiliate their victims by posting videos online. And the Russian authorities, of course, must be running to the favour of these people because they are citizens of Russia and thereby will be looked at accordingly, yes? No, of course not. The Russian authorities have not actually responded to nearly any of these developments, and the perpetrators are often clearly identifiable in the videos. People of Russia have begun to lose confidence in the authorities, which they didn't have a great deal of confidence in. All you have to do is look at some of the collections of Putin's photographs over the last few years, and you can see he's a man that might actually be trapped as a gay man himself, desperately trying to come out, and like so many people in this situation, unconfident with his own sexuality, he's decided that being gay just doesn't exist. Just doesn't exist. That's the best way to deal with it, isn't it? Yeah, that's all right. Now, I have had quite a lot of the right-wing media in North America have been saying, at the end of the day, what does it matter? Oh, yeah, it's all about the games, isn't it? Yes, to a degree, but what does it matter? I would say it matters quite a lot when people are being persecuted for the way they live their lives. So what does it matter? It's all about the games. Well, it is all about the games, but it's also about people being beaten with an inch of their life and people ignoring it. So I think, as a fellow human, might just be quite nice to look out for your brothers and sisters, no matter what their diversity. Just throwing it out there. So sorry to be so unbelievably left-wing and all that, but wouldn't it be nice if we could just be nice to people? And the IOC just seem to be going, I think they're very deep and wondrously, systematically fantastic response to it. Ah, la, 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 I can't hear you. Bada, ba, boo, ba, boo, ba, boo. Look, the mountains. Seems to be what's happening over there. I don't know why it's suddenly become astonishing to anyone that being gay is something that might actually have sort of been introduced and might have been somewhat some of the considerations of the Winter Olympics anyway. I'm not saying that it turns you gay, but I am saying that two men in Lycra, one sitting on the other one's lap, pushing off and holding each other's helmets, might be just a little bit gay. You know what I'm saying? And there's 8 US states that have anti-gay laws strikingly similar to those in Russia, by the way. So, although I have to be said that I am reading that on the day when the federal government are slowly and painfully now leaning towards respecting gay marriage in the United States federally, which is a step in the right direction, if you ask me. I just think it'd be nice to just let people do what they want to do. Is that so crazy? No, let's burn them as witches. Yeah, all right, that's progressive. The Winter Olympics underway, of course, doing quite well for Canada, as I said. But while there's plenty to attend to, from pussy riots advocacy of free speech to Sochi's lack of preparation for the Games, all I've seen is pictures of toilets, by the way. it's like the crappiest toilet shop in the world. That's all I've seen. I haven't seen any of the Games, and I've looked for them everywhere. You just Google Sochi, and you just get skiers sitting on toilets next to each other, some of them not plumbed into the wall. And by the way, a toilet that's not plumbed into the wall is not actually a toilet. I mean, it is in the sort of 1600s, but I think really, I mean, call me old-fashioned, bit of a stickler for the old mod cons, but I like a toilet where you can flush your waste away. Bonkers, though it may be. So, yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on there. But yeah, I would like to point out that there are 8 states, Alabama, Arizona, Mississippi, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, Texas, and Utah, that have laws banning the promotion of homosexuality in schools. Now, you could say that's just teaching it in general. That's always a little bit difficult to define what promotion is. But nonetheless, the states, southern states, albeit slowly getting there, could do with a little look at itself as well. So there you go. Now, you could say, as the mayor of Sochi did, that there doesn't seem to be a problem in Sochi because, actually, I don't know why everyone's so hot and bothered about gays, because there's none there. What's that? No, there's no gays in Sochi, so that's all right then, isn't it? Yes, this is what the mayor of Sochi said.
We don't have them in our town.
You don't have them in the town. You sure?
I'm not sure. I don't bloody know them.
I went to a gay bar last night.
Okay. I love that so much. There's a BBC reporter with the with the mayor of Sochi, and it's that beautiful combination of harassingly depressing, where you almost just give up on humanity as a whole, and comedically gorgeous because it's so bloody funny. Can you play it again? So again, he is asked, "Do you think that you have gays in Sochi? Are you concerned about this?" And this was his response:
"We don't have them in our town.
You don't have them in the town. You sure?"
I'm not sure. I don't bloody know them.
I went to a gay bar last night.
I love that. I don't bloody know them, so probably don't exist. I don't think I've seen any black people today, so I can only imagine that there's no black people in Toronto. I think that's fair to say. I can't see that's unreasonable. I'm pretty confident I haven't spotted a lesbian all day, so that's that. They're all obviously on the Isle of Lesbos. They're not here. I don't bloody know them. I love that as well. The bloody know them. I don't bloody know them. So, interesting that there's four gay bars in Sochi, by the way, which, by the way, haven't got the guts to put, never mind the fact that they're a gay bar above the door, they haven't even got the guts to put bar above the door for want of the fact that the people are going to come over and, well, who knows what the authorities might do. I haven't seen the underside of my shoes today, so they're probably not there. It's going to be a nightmare walking home. I'm going to get really cold feet. A minute ago, I was looking at the microphone and not the producer, so I can only assume this show's free-reeling. No adverts. He can't be there, because I can see him now. Because I looked at him. Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is, to discover stuff, you've sort of got to look for it. Oh, it's like car keys. I knew it. It's pretty simple. There's no gay people in Sochi. You sure? Because I went to a gay bar last night. Well, I don't bloody know. Play the rest of it.
Will gay people be welcome to the Sochi Olympics?
Our hospitality will be extended to everyone who respects the laws of the Russian Federation and who doesn't impose their habits and their will on others. But yes, everyone is welcome.
I put the mayor's claim to one of Russia's leading opposition politicians.
Okay, pause that there just for a second.
The mayor told me that...
This is a reporter talking, as he says there, to one of the leading oppositions. So I want you to just have a little think about what the reaction might be from the leader of the opposition when confronted with the fact, and it is a fact, that the mayor said there was no gay people in Sochi. So have a little think about what that reaction might be and play.
The mayor told me that there were no gays in Sochi.
No gays?
No homosexuals.
As far as I know, there are several gay clubs in Sochi. How they survive? Why they are not bankrupt?
Last week, President Putin said homosexuals were welcome in Sochi, but warned them against spreading what he called gay propaganda. But there's still concern amongst gay athletes and spectators about how they will be treated when they arrive for the start of the games next week. Obviously, John Sweeney, BBC News.
Yeah, John Sweeney there for the BBC. And obviously that was, you know, reported just before the game started. So we will have to see how this goes. It would be nice if there was just a little bit more forward thinking around the world. I love this, because sometimes you hear people say, well... Yeah, at the end of the day, chose to be gay, didn't they? So, I'd like to put this argument to a lot of people that think that gay people choose to be gay. Do you think, one of my very good friends is gay, which is a statement, by the way, that was echoed by Doug Ford the other day. We should talk about that soon as well. Let's put that on hold. God, there's so much to talk about. All right, yeah, because I want to talk about that as well. I've just remembered that. Anyway, so... So the people that think, oh, well, they've chosen to be gay, and they're obviously trying to spread it all around, the whole gayness. As my very good gay friend, Alec, who's listening, said to me once, do you honestly believe that people would choose to be gay when, in his own words, he said, I was persecuted at school. I led a very uncomfortable life, not really sure if there was something wrong with me. I had dates with girls and was constantly questioning why I wasn't particularly interested in them. And then, of course, I had to suffer. Well, he was fairly fortunate, but he knows many people that have had to suffer enormous persecutions from their family and local religious groups, which is ironic coming from religious groups that have been ousted by the UN last week of categorically ignoring all the problems with paedophilia and homosexuality within the church. But nonetheless, that's what he said. And I sort of agree with it. Whilst I have nothing but respect for gay people, I wouldn't choose it. Sounds like a lot of hard work. Plus, it limits your numbers a bit. Not as many. You know, I like to throw some mud at the wall and watch it stick. Sounded like a dirty metaphor. Wasn't. Let's move on. So, I'm going to Nicaragua. Ba, ba, ba. Now, there must be people that listen to the show every week thinking, Jesus Christ, will you just go away? Apologies for the blaspheming, but I'm sure it must be getting a bit annoying. I think a lot of people are, a lot of people are thinking, come on, mate, you've been talking about this for ages. Okay, it's not tomorrow, it's a week tomorrow, which means this isn't the last show. I'm going to do this show and I'm going to do one next Sunday as well, I've decided. And then I'm going, I promise. And I might not come back. I hope I will. I've got every intention to. I've booked the flight, but, you know, I might not entirely know what I'm doing. I'm going down to Nicaragua. I'm going to shoot a documentary. I'm going to be open about it here. I'm quite pleased about the concept. It's called The Life Lottery. Working title. And the concept is that I go down there with not a great deal of money, pick one subject in one town, hopefully on the beach, because I would quite like to have a nice little holiday while I'm there. But a poor, poverty-stricken town, and I pick that subject and try to make that person's life better. And let's assume that they're in a family. Hopefully that making it better can be dealt out to the family as well, in one way or another. As I say, this is not Secret Millionaire, because, well, I suppose it is in a sense that the secret is I'm not a millionaire, but this is a concept for a TV show that I'm filming on my own, self-funded, probably rather stupid, and I'm going to be in Nicaragua helping one individual. I'm down there for about 7 weeks. I missed 6 shows, and in that time, hopefully, I can do something like put some kids in school, build a house or something like that. I suppose you could say, sounds like a bit of a vanity project for a man with a big ego. And I don't think you'd be entirely wrong. I mean, after all, I could just give some money to a charity or go down and help a charity. But I thought it'd be more fun to do this completely independently and be interested in the characters that I meet along the way. It won't be out on YouTube or hopefully on Outdoor Life Network or Discovery or whoever buys it. For $25 or whatever it's going to cost them. It won't be out for some time because obviously when I get back, I've got to do the editing and stuff like that. And it's a pretty small project. But that's what's happening, and I'm quite excited about it. So as a result, I decided, why not, you know, make life easier for myself by sharing, by you sharing some stories with me. So my question to you this evening is, what is the worst travel experience you've ever had? Or the best one? What's the worst travel experience you've ever had, or the best one? And hopefully they're not too harrowing, because I don't want to turn this into a terribly depressing show. But I did ask on Facebook, what's the worst travelling experience you've ever had? And it went crazy. Jeff said, my wife has broken a finger in Switzerland, then she broke her toe in Portugal. Neither of these things slowed us down. We took a couple of hours out each day to try and get them mended. I don't know what that means. Are you fixing them yourself? Not like a computer hard drive. Anyway, seems a bit weird. Took a couple of hours out each day. Anyway, we were about to fly home and she broke her leg. Which isn't funny, but it is quite funny. Broke her finger in Switzerland, a toe in Portugal. Don't know where she broke her leg, doesn't say. Well done you. Tommy says, my worst experience was likely being caught and beaten in Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo, having to escape and run for our lives to cross the border. I won't go into details, but let us just say I'm lucky to be alive. Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. Julie said, I stayed in Australia without luggage for 3 weeks, but it didn't ruin my trip. You don't need that much luggage in Australia, really, thankfully. Particularly not now. Just need about 16 bottles of sunscreen. Howard said, when I travel, nothing bothers me. It's a state of mind. My mind is gone from all negatives in life. All is positive. Said Howard there, assumedly emailing from a mountaintop in Tibet. He goes on to say, maybe that's why I've never had problems with anything. Oh, lucky you, Howard. I guess the worst thing was running at Rome to catch my plane. I looked like an incarceration of O.J. Simpson commercial. I ran and I ran, but I got my flight. I think, Howard, that you've only ever taken one trip and it was quite non-eventful. I think, Howard, I'm going to pay for Howard to come to Nicaragua with me so he has a hard time. 416-872-1010. I would like to hear your travel tales. We'll start with Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you? 15 years ago, I was in Florida and I was robbed on the beach in Miami.
Ooh, nasty. Now, were you drunk and asking for it, or were you just wandering around in the daytime?
No, I had my kids with me.
Whoa, what happened then?
I had put my purse down on the blanket before we went swimming, and someone just grabbed it.
Oh, that's the lowest of the low. My sister had that, and she had to walk home in a bathing suit.
So while I was waiting to have money wired to me, Air Canada, a couple of days later, flew me back home first class.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, because you told them the story, and they looked after you?
I told them the story, and they gave me first class tickets. First class. So anybody who badmouths Air Canada, they're, after that man experience.
Fantastic.
Anyways, have a great time in Nicaragua.
Thanks, Monica.
Take care.
Just writing that down. Now to get best upgrade. Pretend you were robbed on beach. Appeal to good human nature for own benefit. Good. 416-872-1010 if you'd like to call in. Just before we go to break, let's talk to Jackie, because I don't want Jackie to wait. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Vinny.
You're too nice. I can't wait. Make you wait.
You're so sweet. And I wish you all the luck in the world on your endeavors and that trip.
Do you think it's a good idea? I just feel like I'm having a bit of a midlife crisis and I want to do something different.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but...
36.
How old?
36, but I look like 26.
36.
Yeah, the last bit was a lie. But yeah, I'm 36.
That all you are?
That's it, baby cakes. Have you ever seen a picture of me? Because you're now starting to get me a bit worried.
Oh, no, I haven't seen a picture of you. I wish I did, but I don't. And I'm 57, and they think I'm 40, and I'm not bragging.
No.
I am 57, but I have an 18-year-old son.
Well, from your voice alone, and I'm not sure if it's a really relevant indicator, I would give you a jolly good cuddle if I was ever given the chance.
tell me your
story, Jackie.
Okay, I'll just briefly. Yeah. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world on that trip, and it sounds wonderful. And I hope you're safe, and I hope you get back safe. I think it's wonderful. Anyways, I haven't traveled a lot, a few places, not much. You know, I'm a single mom, divorced, widowed. But when I was 17, 16, went down with my cousin, aunt and uncle, drove to Florida Daytona Beach. There's a whole town swimming pool, and, you know, I was in swimming, and I just had my little bit of gold jewelry. I found my mom and dad, you know, gold chain, and birthstone, family ring, you know. So it was stolen, so that was all gone. And then we went out, we had, you know, a bite to eat in the hotel that evening. And then you're choked to death on the chicken bone, but one of the patrons had been a medic or a doctor, and I was all right. I'm alive!
I'm glad to hear it, Jackie. Did they do the Heimlich maneuver on you?
They did.
Did they?
They did.
I've always wanted to see that for some reason.
They did. I was like, oh my God. They said I was starting to turn the color. Oh my God. Oh my God. But you know, I guess God didn't want to take me then. I'm still here. I don't know if my son's that happy about it, 18, you know.
Well, it's a difficult age. Some days they probably are. Some days, let's be honest, they're probably not.
Yeah, most of the days not.
Exactly. All the days they're getting money out of it, I think they'll be all right. Take care, Jackie.
You as well.
Take care, darling. Bye. Deb says, I was in Istanbul and I was sexually harassed by a street vendor. Not cool. And Mark says, I once went to Saskatoon. Never again. It's all he says. I love that. I don't know what the disappointment was. Maybe he was a mountaineer. Terrible for that. We'll take a break. We'll take some more calls. 416-872-1010. If you want to call in, let me know your good or bad travel stories. 71010 on the text.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
That's right. Like it or not, I'm here till 10. Hopefully like it. Edward Keenan after that, with a slightly more highbrow show. I was a Good Samaritan today. Weird thing happened to me. I left my house and I was going to my art studio. Which makes it sound like I'm an artist. I'm not. It's just that I work from an art studio. I run a company called MrPhotoCanvas.com. Do you need your photograph on canvas? Then why not use MrPhotoCanvas.com? I actually do a really pathetic smile after I say that, and I always expect a small glint to go shining off my teeth, and it go ding. MrPhotoCanvas.com. Anyway, that's what I do for a living. Hope that was a big enough plug. And but I was taking a chair from my house to my workplace. I've been meaning to do it for ages, and the most convenient way of doing it was on my head, sort of backwards, if you like. So the padded bit, the bum of the seat, was on my head, and I was walking down the road. First person said, "Nice hat." I thought, I like that. That was good. And I live in the sort of Parkdale area. There's two bits of the Parkdale area. There's the groovy hipster, I've got quite a lot of money, and I go to the Drake and drink cocktails bit. And then there's my bit, which is more kind of, if it was a sound effect, it would sound like this. Ah! Whereas the sort of groovy end would sound like this. Mmm. I think that explains it. It's a bit dodgy, is what I'm saying. It's all right. It's just a bit dodgy. I think I said this once before. It's the sort of place where quite often I get asked for a cigarette, even though I don't smoke, by people on their porch. It's the laziest lot. They just sit out the front and ask for stuff from people walking past. When did that become all right? Can't do that. Honestly, it happens all the time. And there's one guy, he knows I don't smoke. He asks me every day. So that was that. I was walking up the road with it. And then I saw a garbage bag, sort of a big black garbage bag, billowing on the floor in front of me. And I'm a bit short-sighted without my specs. So I couldn't really understand. I couldn't quite work out what it was. And then as I got closer, I realised it was a man. And he couldn't get up. First Nations gentleman. Let's be honest. Wasn't looking his best. Stunk of booze. And he said, "Hey, bro, can you help me up, man?" Which is my horrific attempt at North American accent with a mild drunkenness associated with it. I'll try it again. "Hey, man, can you help me up, dude?" Something like that. It always goes a bit Bill and Ted when I try that. But there you go. He was on the floor and asked me to help him up, which, of course, as a fellow citizen of the planet, I was gracious enough to do. Of course, I had to put the chair that was on my head down first. And then it seemed that I helped him up, and he was so unstable on his feet, it seemed nothing but logical to put him in the chair. So one minute you're walking along the road with a chair on the head, next thing you've picked up an Aboriginal gentleman and popped him on the chair. So that's what happened to me today. He then said that he wanted me to call an ambulance. Now, as much as I do like helping people out, I was a bit sceptical about calling an ambulance because do you need an ambulance? You're just extraordinarily pissed, aren't you? That's what it is. We've all been there, including myself, sadly, because he kept falling over and stuff. And I thought, I don't really want to waste paramedics' time with someone that clearly just needs to go and dry out somewhere warm for a while. So I got to know him. His name was Stephen. Nice enough chap. And then it was only a while into it, I realised he couldn't really see me and he wasn't focusing on me. And then I actually got genuinely worried about him and he said, "Please, can you call an ambulance? I'm diabetic." So I did. And so now I was coming here, so if this show isn't well prepared, I always have an excuse every week. I feel like it's a good one this week. It's because I was helping a man who was needed an ambulance. So the woman on the phone said, "What's going on?" And I said it in front of me. I said, "Listen, I've got to be honest with you. I've given a man a chair. I'm in a snowy downtown district of Parkdale." I told her the sort of address that I was out in front of. "And I've got myself a wino. I've picked him up." And she said, "All right, we're going to send someone. Can you stay with him?" And fair play, hats off, and credit where credit's due. The ambulance was there in about not even 5 minutes. And they didn't make a big scene. It wasn't like, you know, all the lights are blazing and stuff. They just kind of calmly cruised up the road. And I think they'd seen this guy a few times before. Because I was just about to say his name's Stephen. They're like, "Hi, Stephen." "Oh, okay." So there you go. And he went. And apparently he wanted insulin. And I can only assume that that's what he got. So there you go. If the show sounds a bit rough, it's because I was attempting to be a good Samaritan. Just like to say an enormous, giant, massive, great F you to absolutely everyone that walked past and gave absolutely no help or consideration, particularly a gentleman who actually walked around him when he was lying on the floor asking for help and ignored him. So just if I can just pop one central finger up at you, and just tell you that you are a bit of a bastard. Congratulations on that. So well done. And I hope, Stephen, if you're listening, I mean, you won't possibly be listening, because I don't think this is really your chosen medium. But nonetheless, if you are listening, I hope you feel better, and do try to drink a little bit less. From a man that does quite often drink a bit too much. I'm somewhere, but I'm sort of like, if it's Stevens at the top, Rob Ford's in the middle. I'm underneath both, don't worry. But let's be honest, I'm not there with the teetotalers. You know what I'm saying? If a Mormon's at the bottom, I'm somewhere between the Mormon and Ford. Which, in, I've just done a visual of that, and it was one of the most bizarre and frankly scary things I've ever thought about. So let's move on, sharpish. Banana Man! You think of America, do you ever think, oh my goodness, I'm glad I live in Canada. Sometimes I do, and it's times like this. Beaumont, Texas. Yesterday morning, motorists travelling down the Highway 105 in Texas were treated to what could generously be described as an unsettling sight. A man in a banana costume holding an AK-47. Nice. Now, as you might imagine, this prompted multiple calls to the police, and when officers arrived on the scene, they discovered that the heavily armed fruit, whose gun was actually loaded with a 50-round drum magazine, was an 18-year-old employee advertising a nearby tactical and security store owned by a man called Derek Poe. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because he's the same douche nozzle who carried an AR-15 automatic assault rifle slung on his back through a crowded mall a little over a month ago, I think it was, after having his gun confiscated and being cited with disorderly conduct. Derek pulled the old police state, I was just exercising my right, rubbish song and dance while pretending not to understand why people would, I don't know, empty their bowels at the sight of a man carrying a high-powered firearm through a mall. Now, the 18-year-old banana, who has yet to be identified, was peeled off the sidewalk and cited for violating a city ordinance prohibiting soliciting alongside roadways. Hopefully it was his boss, Derek, and not him who ends up paying the resulting fines. As such, an expert on the letter of the law, Derek probably should have been aware of the ordinance before making some kid go on the street dressed, well, and armed like a fruity menace, really. So in conclusion, in Texas, and I didn't actually know this, forgive my ignorance as a Brit, this, I really didn't know this, you're allowed to carry a loaded gun, by the way, 3 years before you can buy a beer, all right? And you are allowed to dress like a banana, even in winter. I think that's okay. But you can't promote a business at the side of a roadway. And that's what they charged him with. So, you know, if he hadn't been promoting a business, he would have been let off, which means you can move to Texas whenever you like. If you want, hop into a fabric apple, just to be original, and wander around telling everyone it's your right to hold up a weapon. Why you'd want to do that, I don't know, by the way, but that is the way things are. So it makes me very happy that I'm living in Canada. Not one time today did any fruit show me a weapon, not even a form. The mayor of Toronto likes to break the law where possible, but mostly the inhabitants are hibernating, doing far softer drugs than the mayor, and not brandishing any kind of weapons dressed as fruits. So go Toronto. Point to Toronto, and big fat negative to Beaumont, Texas, home of wielding bananas. No one's ever said that before. When we come back, we'll explore the rest of the news, and I want to play a clip from it. There's a really cool bit, right? There's this BBC cameraman who decided it would be a good idea to do the entire downhill slalom course at Sochi and record it. And the audio is fantastic. I mean, here's a man that wants... I mean, that's doing your job, isn't it? If I was a cameraman and they said, can you just go down there? You go at speeds of about 120 kilometres an hour and you're risking your life. Absolutely, definitely. I'd probably say, do you know what? I'm not insured. But he did it. So we'll play the audio for that when we come back. Right here, you're listening to News Talk 1010. Text the show on 71010, or you can call in on 416 872 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Lost my music for a minute there. I can't live without my music. I get cold and lonely without it. It's my trademark. I play that when I walk into a shop. Hello, mate. Can I have a packet of chips there? Oh, it's Vinny. Oh. How are you? Is everything okay? If it isn't, then, you know, maybe I can help. Let's be honest, probably not. But nonetheless, I'll read out your tales of terrible travels. I asked you earlier to tell me what went wrong when you've been travelling. I'm not sure it was a good idea, really, because I'm leaving for Nicaragua next week. And it's probably not helping me with my confidence. But nonetheless, it's always interesting to know what happened. Jack said, that was a very easy one. I got on the wrong train at Union Station after four people looked at our tickets and told us where to go. That seems quite difficult at that point, but there you go. The train pulls out, heading east, and I wanted to go to Kitchener. By the time I tell the conductor we're at Rouge Station, they booted us off the train and said someone will look after you here. Not. Yes. I love to hear not. I haven't heard that since the 90s. Yes, there was a bit of alcohol involved. Oh, I see. After all, it was my birthday, and it seemed like the coldest night of the year. But nevertheless, we ended up wanting to grab a taxi all the way back. In the end, we finally got to Kitchener. It took us 18 hours to travel what would have been a one-hour trip. Joan says, travelling by train from Brockville to Burlington to visit my family, grabbed my bag, departed the train, got picked up by the folks, settled in, went to get something from a bag. I didn't remember packing boxes and a carton of smokes. Someone must have the same bag. That's good. If there was a terrible reaction, at least you were covered. I've always wondered if he enjoys his new finds. Not thrilling, I know. Who travels with a spare pair of boxers? Oh, I suppose if you're going away for the weekend. Or if you're going to Wonderland. Or if you're incontinent. Someone just texted in, where do you drink at? I like to hang out sometime. Thank you. I'm not going to tell you because I don't hang out with illiterate people. All right. If you want to text in, by the way, you can always text in on 71010. I like it when you do that. And you can call in 416-872-1010. So in Sochi, I'm just going to return there for a moment because there's a bit of a hero reporter and I just wanted to play a bit of an audio. So there's a BBC cameraman that decided he would explain the course. And unlike what you and I would do and say it goes left a bit here, right a bit there, there's a steep bit, there's a really scary bit around the corner, it's a bit cold and then you finish. He did this.
Well, just looking out of the start gate at this Rosa Kuta course is intimidating. Let's go and have a look at it. Pushing out hard. It's already quite rough and bumpy. And you're onto this first tight turn. This is called the toboggan. But I come out high of this turn because we're setting up for the steepest and fastest part of the course. We're diving down the Akula Valley now. Good speed down here. 46%. Just ran a little bit wide. Coming out into Baba Yama.
Into what?
Wow. That is an insane start to the men's downhill. But now you've got the toughest part of the course coming up.
The ice skating, by the way.
Over the Russian trampoline. Massive flight. And onto this really icy, bumpy traverse. Gonna be hard on the ski here. Onto this section called Big Pan.
Onto the what?
Eight sweeping turns.
Could be a bit clearer.
With lots of rollers. They've used the water injection bar to make it really, really rough and bumpy. Over Bear's Brow. My legs are burning up. We've still got the two biggest jumps on the course to come. The first of these is the lake jump. Good flight over there. See how rough and bumpy the snow is here.
No, by the way, if you do watch the film of him making this, you don't really see much. Just looks like a blur. He might as well have just put the camera up on a tripod and thrown various snowballs past the lens. Is he nearly done?
Wow. That is one of the most testing Olympic downhill courses I have ever skied. And I raced five and I've skied four with a camera.
All right, big bananas.
That's tough.
That's tough, but I'm going to do it all again anyway. Yeah. If that was me, I'd tell you what would happen. I'd do all that. I'd be so pleased with myself. And then I'd realise there's no bloody film in the camera. And then I'd do it again and break my collarbone, like I always do. That collarbone's very rarely been connected to my torso. So well done, you. I can't remember his name, but pat on the back and all that. I like someone that goes above and beyond their call of duty. It's like the next time I do the traffic and travel, I might as well go and stand on the highway. That's the radio equivalent of it. Yeah, it's really busy here on The Gardener, but traffic's moving freely. That was a close one. How do you want to finish? Do you want to do the wind-up phone call or the worst song of all time? I think wind-up phone call, don't you? I'm kind of proud of it. A wind-up phone call. People in Canada don't say wind-up, do they? What do you say? Teasing or something? Wind-up means jokey. Yeah, prank call, that's what you call it. Forgive me, I'm fresh off the boat 7 years ago. Still haven't quite understood the lingo. A prank call. We call it a wind-up in the UK because you wind people up. But apparently that got lost somewhere on the pond. This week, I was in the studio, just knocking around, and I got a phone call, and everything was recording. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Now, I have to say, the phone call was an accident. But, you know, sometimes you've just got to go with it. And this is what happened.
May I please speak to Eileen?
Hello, I'm Eileen.
I'm sorry?
I'm Eileen.
You are Eileen?
Yep.
Okay. So, hi. Well, the reason why we called you today is we want to tell you that you have a guaranteed approval for a MasterCard.
And oh, fantastic.
You have a credit limit of up to $6,000.
Brilliant.
So if you had credit problems in the past, getting this Capital One card will be a good way to start building or rebuilding your credit rating.
It sure will. Well, that's a great thing because I need to buy a cheese factory. I'm going to buy a cheese factory. I'm going to make my own cheese. So with a credit card, I could probably buy a cheese factory. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So for this card, you'll have an annual or yearly interest rate of 19.8%.
Bargain.
And a low annual fee of only $59.
Mm.
So your approval here is guaranteed. All I need to do, since you have a guaranteed approval, all I need to do is ask you a few questions for us to finalize your application.
I'm so excited that the last time I was this excited was when it was my birthday and I was six.
I'm sorry?
You don't have to be. I got given a huge car. It was fantastic. It was one of those little ones that you can play with in your back garden. You get in the car and you can drive it around your whole back garden. It was really exciting. And I'm nearly as excited as that.
Okay. Right now, what I have here, sir, your first name is Irene, spelled as I-R-E-N-E.
Yep, I'm Irene. Absolutely. I'm from Italy. As you can probably tell from my... Can you tell from my Italian accent?
Yes. Absolutely.
So I can get this credit card and then I can buy a cheese factory and then you and me, maybe you want to move in and you can eat my cheese. Do you want to eat my cheese?
Okay, so right now, Mr. Iglesias, all I need to do
you want
to
move in my house and eat my cheese?
What cheese is that?
Well, I'm going to buy a cheese factory, and then you can eat my cheese.
Okay, no problem.
Wicked. Cheese is great. Take care.
I didn't know what to do at the end. I just ran out of steam. Oh, dear. Right, let's take a call before the show finishes. Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Vinny. I hope you have a beautiful, safe trip. And come home and be back on to you 10:10.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret. Take care, darling. I'm going to let you go now because it's the end of the show, but thank you.
Yeah, you take care.
Cheers, darling. Bye-bye. I like Margaret. It's weird when you hear yourself back. I never like that. Turn your radios down because I can hear me. And I know I do this for a living, but I never want to hear it. Like, I always hear myself. Well, like, I sometimes check the podcast just to check that it's all working. And I think, who's that condescending, pompous bastard?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
If you want to download the show, please do www.vinnywhite.co.uk. All right? the podcast up there every week. You can also subscribe in iTunes. Just look in iTunes and search for Vinnie White. And I will be here next Sunday for the last show for about 7 weeks, as I do disappear, as Margaret says, to Nicaragua. Have yourself a beautiful, wonderful, and happy week. Take care. See ya.